We're being recorded. And myself, absent tonight, is President Drew Baum and Councilperson Bob Adams. We also have present Mayor Fred Wood, Solicitor Jerry Montello, and our engineer Matt Hootman. Third up on the agenda, opportunity for the public to address council. Larry, if you could take the lead on this and ask for who would like to talk.
All right. Glenn, do you have anything for Borough Council?
I do, Larry, thank you. Members of council, I'm Glenn Mon, 725 Darlington Road, Chester Heights, also known as Hemonasset. Just want to share some information with you. Please bear with me. 165 years ago, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Charles Miggs built his retirement home. Located on the top and slope of a fine hill with more than three-fourths of the land covered with a luxuriant growth of noble woods. Built of hard, dark gray stone taken from the land, and he chose the Indian name of a small river by which his forefathers had settled, and he called it Hemonasset. For the last 20 years, my wife Ashley and I have had the privilege of being the stewards of this great property. And after a lot of consideration, a lot of effort, this property has been sold. And we anticipate closing on the transaction within the next 10 days. It is being sold not as a bed and breakfast. It is being sold as a private residence. And we are very, very enthusiastic and excited about the future of this property and the new stewards of Hemonasset. It's been a marvelous journey, like life, filled with a lot of challenges, but offset by many positive and great memories and experiences. As a small token of our appreciation to the borough, where we have enjoyed being residents for these last 20 years, we dropped off a number of Hemonasset mugs for the council to pick up and enjoy their morning coffee and remember those wonderful days when we were able to host over the last 20 years more than 40,000 guests to not only Hemonasset, but to the borough of Chester Heights. Thank you.
Tony, do you have anything?
No, but thank you for that and good luck wherever you're going.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
Glenn, you and Ashley will be missed.
Thank you and safe travels.
Thank you very much. It's been our pleasure.
Mary Kay, do you have anything for public comment?
No, thank you.
Okay, Mary or Nancy Server?
No, thank you.
Marta Driscoll?
Thank you. Glenn, I did want to say, Glenn, thank you for sharing that. I'm very excited about you being able to move forward with your plans. So good luck to you and Ashley.
Okay. Sam Iannucci? Anything for public comment? Philip Locke?
No, thank you.
All right, I've got two Sams. Sam?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Sam Sr. Okay. Ray Akabuchi.
No, thank you.
And Walt Basher. No? Okay. And I just want to make notice that Trooper Tobin's here as well. You might want to defer to her next.
Yes. Trooper Tobin. Public comment, you're up.
Thank you, Dina. Hi, good evening, everyone. Nice to see everyone again. So we're going to get right into it. So for May, as far as the traffic enforcement efforts on our side, crashes in the borough, we had even number of four for last year and this year, so no increase or decrease regarding that. DUI arrests, there were no DUI arrests last year and this year. Traffic stops, we had 11 last year, 12 this year, which is an increase. And also for criminal related incidents, We did have a burglary occur last year, none to report this year, so that's a positive. Criminal mischiefs, or i.e. property crimes, we had zero occur in the borough last year. We did have one that I will share with everybody momentarily within the noteworthy incidents for this month. And as far as theft goes with retail, regular thefts, and thefts regarding identity in fraud and forgery cases, we had zero across the board from last year and this year. So that is fantastic, given the circumstances, especially with the senior living facilities throughout the five townships and two boroughs that we cover have seen an increase overall. It's nice that Chester Heights Borough was a solid goose eggs each year, so that's refreshing. So as far as the noteworthy incidents for this month, or last month, excuse me, on May 7th, about 7:15 p.m., we had members respond to an overdose that occurred in the borough where the complainant provided Narcan to her mother, which was successfully administered. Upon PSP and EMS arrival, the victim was conscious, thankfully, but refused EMS treatment and is currently well as of right now. On the 11th of May at about 9:02 p.m., we had a trooper that was dispatched to 260 West Baltimore Pike in Chester Heights Borough for a report of a criminal mischief. This was the one that occurred this year. We were informed that the Wawa shuttle at corporate headquarters sustained damage that consisted with a dent in one of its vehicles consisting of a front cab, driver's side mirror, what windshield wiper blades were removed from their vehicle, a trailer in the same parking lot was also damaged, which is currently being investigated as we speak. On the 17th, at about 8:55 a.m., we had two troopers respond to 103 Valley Brook Road in the borough for downed cable lines stemming from a hit and run collision that occurred in that area. Upon arrival, we did have a witness that relayed that a truck that was hauling logs struck the pole, which caused the cable wires to come down, dismount from the utility pole. Fortunately enough, we had Upper Chichester Police assist us with that scene. Verizon came out, removed the wires, and also provided assistance for the restoration of the pole. And we are still seeking out any leads to potentially access that registration for that hit and run vehicle that caused that damage. So anybody that has any information regarding that to please come forward would be very beneficial to this. And again, this is the incident that occurred on May 17th at about 8:55 in the morning in the area of 103 Valley Brook Road in the borough. As far as our communication efforts for the month, on May 2nd was our 116th anniversary for the creation of the Pennsylvania State Police. In addition to that, we did honor our fallen troopers along with our anniversary that we held that day. That was huge for us when we first came in existence with Governor Sam Pennypacker on May 2nd, 1905. We were the first uniformed state police agency in the whole United States. So I always like to throw that in there. It's nice bragging rights. But we are lucky to say that we are the 10th largest police agency across the country. We did have a trooper, unfortunately, sustain a medical emergency where he had died. His name's Trooper Donald C. Brackett, and he was added to our memorial wall at our academy. He died on May 18th. So starting with a complement of just 228 men, we now have a complement of 4,719 troopers and 1,700 civilian employees. So that's where we came. So a little history of us. And as far as our Memorial Day crashes, I do always like to share these statistics across the state because every year they increase exponentially. So as far as 2020, we had 844 crashes during the four-day Memorial Day weekend from the 28th to the 31st. And out of those crashes, eight of them were fatal. We had 183 injuries through all those crashes that we investigated, and alcohol was a factor in 63 of them. Troopers, we made 596 arrests related to DUI. As a result, we issued 9,624 speeding citations, and we also cited 1,025 individuals for not wearing seatbelts and issued citations to 144 motorists that were not utilizing the proper safety measures for their child, you know, as far as having the proper safety seat for them. So at that, with this being said, if anybody has any questions regarding any of the things that I went over, or anything they would like to talk about now, if you have any questions, that'd be great.
Thank you, Trooper Tobin. That was a great update.
Thank you, Susan.
Does anybody have any comments for Trooper Tobin at this time? All right, Gina Maria, give it back to you.
Thank you, Trooper Tobin. Have a good night if you need to log off and go visit someone else tonight.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Okay, next up on the agenda is the septic abandonment. I guess we're up here so Mike Sioko Jr. can do what he needs to do and then move on to his next meeting. So, Mr. Sioko, are you here?
I am, Gina, but I think this is, hi, how are you? Good evening. I think this is a leftover from a previous meeting. We're kind of working right now behind the scenes between Rich Jensen and Jerry and I and Matt Hootman to discuss some of those items and see what might make sense to adopt it at whenever your next public hearing may occur. I don't think it's necessary to be done immediately, but there is some language that could be cleaned up a little bit. We are covered for the time being, but like I said, I sent some stuff over for Rich and Jerry to look at, and I think we'll be going through that, you know, over the next several weeks and whatnot. And from there, we'll move on from there.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions on this topic?
No, this is Jerry. I agree with Mike's assessment. Rich and I and Mike will be looking at and reviewing his comments that he made a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, thank you. Up next on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the May 3rd, 2021 regular council meeting. I'll give council a few seconds to review it again and share comments. Anyone have any feedback, or should I call for a motion to pass the minutes?
Gina, this is Laura. I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion is passed for approval of the May 3rd, 2021 regular council meeting minutes. Thank you.
Don't we all have to vote?
All in favor say aye.
I'm sorry. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Obviously, I'm a little out of practice in doing this job. Next up on the agenda is the Secretary Treasurer May Treasurer's Report approval. And any questions from council on the secretary on the treasurer's report? No questions? So I have a motion to approve the May treasurer's report.
I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second, Natalie.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the May Treasurer's Report, aye. Say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay.
Somebody is, there's a lot of background noise from somebody that has their microphone turned on. Just letting people know.
Thank you, Susan.
Can you guys hear me, Gina? There we are. All right.
And now. Next up on the agenda is correspondence, and that is me. We have correspondence from Chief Sam Iannuzzi regarding some possible fire hazards at Madison. I don't know if he would like to address that when that committee conversation comes up. We have a letter from Richard Jensen, our code enforcement officer, to rental owners in Darlington Woods regarding a noise complaint. We have an excessive noise complaint, specifically music coming out of Ashley's from a resident in the reserve at the Highlands. The fire company is hosting a pop-up vaccine clinic in conjunction with Delaware County on Wednesday at the Chester Heights Fire Company. We have some correspondence that I know our engineer will address about the drain pipes at Valley Brook and Route 1, and that'll come up later in the meeting. And then we have a letter saying that the Beard Track that was approved a few years ago for townhome development is finally approved through the PA Department of Environmental Protection. And that development will go forward because now they have a sewer solution. We also have a CWA Water Authority report that is at the office if anybody would like to review it. And that's the end of the correspondence.
Sorry, Jean and Marie, what did you say about sewer approval? Was that the property at
next to Chester Heights Storage or Storage U?
That was the old where the horses grazed?
Correct. That was approved, I believe, before I was elected 3 years ago for, I think it's 33 townhomes in a U-shape. And they wanted to tie in to the Darlington Woods Highlands sewer system. And DEP said no, because they're not a public utility. And there was some, I believe, legal wrangling going on. And I understand, and Mike Sciocco, you can, I read your email that said they did come to some sort of conclusion and that development will now go forward and they'll be able to tie in to that's a sewer treatment plant.
I don't remember seeing the email from Mike Sciocco. And the one I read, I thought it was saying that the complaint was denied.
Maybe I misinterpreted it.
No. This is Jerry. Go ahead, Mike. But the complaint actually was withdrawn as a part of the resolution before the DEP in the materials that I read. But Mike, go ahead. Maybe you can, talk about a little bit more.
And again, it's more legal jargon that I'm familiar with, but the gist of it is that this development ended up being called the Reserve at Stony Bank, but it's also known as the Beard Track. It is 33 townhomes, and basically there was some back and forth with the PUC. And what the resolution that came out of it was, is that the reserves at Stony Bank would become a member of, the Darlington Wood, I believe it's the Darlington Woods, they would become a part of the Walnut Hill Utility Company.
That's correct.
And with that as being a member of the Walnut Hill Utility Company, they then would have the right to tie into the sewer there. There's a number of benefits that'll occur to Darlington Woods because of it. They'll get a new pump station out of it. They'll get a backup generator, which they've never had before. And they'll also get tapping fees that'll go into their account, which will go towards any upgrades that are needed for the treatment plant at now or any time in the future. So it seems to be a win-win for everybody. And the PUC had agreed that it does not need to become a full public utility with the arrangement that I just described.
Yeah, I guess I read it completely differently because it said there was an initial decision disposing of Stony Bank's complaint. And I think initial decision became a final order.
So, right. I think the Stony Bank complaint was I don't know exactly, but the way it is like Stony Bank put a complaint into the PUC that they weren't being allowed to tie into the sewer.
Right. Stony Bank. Yeah. Stony Bank Development LLC filed suit at MPUC against the Walnut Hill Utility Company. And part of the resolution was that they would withdraw their complaint based upon a settlement that took place between the parties. But they still have to get PUC approval to withdraw that complaint. And then there was an issue as to, as I understand the decision. And the borough was not involved in any of this litigation. This was entirely between the two entities. As I understand reading the decision, is that the there was a question as to whether or not the Walnut Hill Utility Company was in fact a public utility. But at the end of the day, they turned it over to the PUC, the judge in the decision, granted the withdrawal of the complaint. And it appears that what Mike's talking about is the overall settlement and the issues that will be resolved as part of it. This plan was approved by council some years ago, but it was required that there be public water and public sewer. It's my understanding that Stony Bank Development attempted to ask Concord Township whether or not they could tap into their system, and Concord Township said no. So they went to the Walnut Hill Utility Company, and they've been, I guess, trying to resolve that issue since that time.
Jerry, what year was that approved?
Susan, it was several years ago. It came before council, went before, the usual process, before council, before the Planning Commission, before the Delaware County Planning Commission. There was a plan for 33 townhomes. And I think there was a lot line adjustment at that location from the Beard Tract. That particular portion, as I understand it, or I recall, was where a mobile home park could have been situated in the borough.
All right.
That was the zoning district back then.
I don't recall it from 2016. It must have been 2015 is what I'm thinking, but I'll look it up.
I do remember that everybody approved it except Philip Locke. He denied it.
Hey, Jerry, can I ask you a question? Is the developer still plan on developing the property?
I don't know. I would assume that this gives them certainly the ability to do it. They were kind of stuck at that point because they couldn't get access to a public sewer. This sort of came out of the blue. I wasn't aware that, they were having this litigation before the PUC. So it came up, I guess, last week. I took a look at the decision, initial decision, and I think they've asked the borough secretary to send a letter related to, like, a certificate letter to the PA Department of Environmental Protection. I think that's Mike. Is that what you sent to Susan?
Yes. So the DEP was requesting certain answers, certain questions to be answered. One of them was the PUC issue, and that was the main thing holding it up. So really, we could respond now to DEP with this solution. And I believe the legal team has been in contact with DEP, kind of giving them a heads up ahead of time, but it really needs to come in a response from the borough saying, here's what's going on. Here's the answers to the questions. And I provide that information to Sue.
So there was a letter from an attorney, Cozen O'Connor, I guess that's who they reached out to perform the PUC issues before the PUC. I would just ask that before Sue sends out the letter that I have a discussion with Matt just to make sure that what we've been sent is something that we're aware of. And I mean, I've taken an initial review of the decision. I think I have to go through it a little bit more thoroughly and then have a discussion with Matt so that whatever is included in the certification letter that Sue sends to the DEP, that is accurate as it relates to our understanding.
So, Jerry, I believe it was approved in 2017. I think the reason is it was zoned for mobile homes. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The area in which it was being developed is the mobile home district, zoning district for the borough. And the Beards came in and presented a plan. Some of that property actually resides in, actually is located in, what would that be, Middletown?
Thornbury Township.
Thornbury Township. So some of that, a section of it resides in, it's located in Thornbury. And then, but the majority of it was located in Chester Heights in the mobile home district part. So, I mean, the plan was approved, but subject to public sewer and public water.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is it going to be, or is it slated to be mobile homes, or is it slated to be townhomes?
It's slated to, it's approved for townhomes. And I think there's 33.
33, Jeffrey, yes.
Have they started any?
33 townhomes.
Have they started anything?
I'm sorry?
Have they started any construction on that at all?
No, there's no, not built, there's no construction.
I don't think they can until they present a final development plan once they have this sewer and water situation fixed. And this letter indicating that it looks like it's fixed is the next step in getting it developed before their five-year limit on their development plan expires.
That was my next question. Thank you, Gina.
Any idea how that affects the capacity of Darlington Woods or capacity of Walnut Hill?
Well, before we answer the question, can you just state your name and your address for the record, please?
My name's Walt Basher. I live at 4 Bonnie Lane.
Thank you.
I can answer that. This was reviewed. So that wasn't really a question on there, but from DEP, I think they asked for some clarification on that. But basically, Walnut Hill is permitted and oversized in their design by about double. And adding these 33 townhomes does not even come close to getting them to their capacity. And they actually, some of the operators have indicated that adding some of this flow will help them operate more efficiently because the system's actually designed to have more flow coming through it than actually goes through it right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments on the correspondence before we move on to reports? Okay, moving on, inspectors' reports. Building inspector. Rich, you are muted. Still muted. Larry, can you unmute him? No.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry. There was only a couple of electrical permits issued this month. Other inspections have just been normal inspections for permits that exist. You briefly, I guess, talked about a letter I sent out earlier today for a noise complaint that has come in a couple of times in Darlington Woods. So I've addressed a letter to the actual property owner, and hopefully we can get something resolved with it without having to go into a legal issue.
That's Darlington or Ashley's?
Ashley's is a different one, okay? Yeah. And we can talk about that if you want.
I think
I'd like to skip over to a zoning. We have a zoning hearing board coming up this month. I'm sure everybody's aware. Dealing with property on Route 1 that is building a barn. And then they came back into me wanting to add an apartment to that barn, which was not approved for an apartment. So they need some relief from the Zoning Hearing Board for that. Does council want to talk about Ashley's now?
Sure. I think the question and complaint was, do we have something in our code with a decibel level rule? And if so,
well,
what can be done about it?
Okay. I've seen a slew of emails on this, and I sent something over to the office earlier today, and I don't know if I sent it to Fred because it came from Fred. There is, but it exists in the light industrial district, not in the business district. So I don't think you could really apply it except, you know, maybe as a base, all right? If they are working within the confines of noise and hours of operation without a true decibel level ordinance in place, we have a real hard time enforcing anything.
I think I remember having this discussion previously. Is it the same person that made the prior complaints as well?
No, this is a different person.
Okay.
The person before actually moved.
Because of the noise, or was it something else?
I mean, I do know that a couple weeks ago, Ashley's had a festival, and, you know, they had a lot of vendors there, and they had outdoor music from about noon until 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I heard it where I live, but I knew it was happening. So this person lives across the street at the reserve at the Highlands in those townhouses.
Yeah, I mean, if you heard that on Wawa Road, that's pretty loud, right?
Yeah. Gina, are they going to do this constantly, like every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or was this just like a one-time thing?
The last time I talked to Bill and Tracy, these two-day festivals are going to be spring and fall, and they advertise them, they put them on their front marquee, and they try to invite as many neighbors as they can as they see them and they know where they live. I do know that they have live music Thursday through Sunday indoors, but she also makes sure that the music stops a full hour before our noise ordinance says she should stop. So if the noise ordinance is 10, she stops at 9. You know, they do want to be good neighbors. So
yeah, I got that impression from them on the last issue. Okay. Sometimes talking to them is better than going through all the hoops of trying to do some kind of enforcement. The peace and good order part of the ordinance, and I don't have it in front of me, talks about singing and noise, and but with no teeth as far as a way to measure it. There's not really anything you're going to win on. So two things from my perspective is, one, try to reach out to Ashley's and, you know, maybe bring the volume down somewhat and still have a, you know, a party type atmosphere. And then two, create some type of ordinance that would put a limit, you know, to what you have.
Are there third-party organizations that can assist with decibel level, I guess, setting the decibel level ordinance and measuring it? I mean, how do you even pick a decibel level? I'm totally unfamiliar.
Yeah. A couple of places that I've worked do have some, you know, there are some national standards that are out there. There are also companies that do decibel readings and acoustics things that are kind of, I'm going to say, certified to do that, so that it's a lot better than me going out there on Route 1 with my sound meter and trying to get readings and then testify as an expert, okay? I think the last time I did that was 20 years ago, and it didn't go very far, especially when the noise on 202 was louder than the noise coming off the back of a particular business. So I would say it's something we look into.
I think conversation's always best. I mean, that's I just don't like the idea of creating ordinances again. You know what I mean? Like, it just, for me personally, I just don't like it. But is there anything else? Be open to other ideas, like noise dampeners or something along those lines that could help. I mean, it seems like there's already an ordinance in place and they're following it. So what can we do to help mitigate and protect the resident besides just putting more ordinances in place? I don't know if Matt, as an engineer, you know of any noise dampeners. You know, I like to put you on the spot, buddy.
No, well, there are sound traps, but I'm going to just answer for him. Like in buildings that have really high acoustics, there are sound traps that can be put in, okay? But outside of a building, if they're having music on the out on the deck or in the rear parking lot or something, I don't know of anything you could do.
So is this something for the codes committee to take a look into and discuss whether or not they want to pursue it? Is that the next step?
It's another thing that we need to look at for the borough code that hasn't been touched virtually in probably like 15 years. So I'll make a note of it.
Yeah, and to go back to Dave, it's not that nobody really wants more regulations, okay? But if you get situations where this is, let's say you get somebody that gets up at 5:30 in the morning and wants to mow his lawn because he's got headlights on his tractor or whatever. You know, there are issues. And just because you have a time, you know, set, or somebody that, you know, they have several kids and they want to set up on the patio out back and play music, you know, all night. The decibel level sort of puts it into a confined space if you're exceeding it.
Yeah.
I think I think it comes down to common courtesy, common sense, and trying to work things out without trying to legislate that.
Exactly. I agree.
Yep. I agree with that. Okay. Wholeheartedly. I totally do.
So basically, I have to go to Ashley's and party this weekend to test the music.
This festival is four days out of the year where they put music in like their side parking lot. All the rest of the music is either on the deck or inside. So, I mean, I can go over and certainly have another conversation with Bill and Tracy. I don't have a problem doing that and seeing if there's some courtesy we can discuss.
But if you can hear that noise from your house, I don't know if any kind of sound baffling that is going to work.
It was
definitely loud that weekend. But I also knew they were having a festival, and I saw the signs for it, and I saw people outside playing cornhole, and it was a beautiful summer day. So it didn't bother me, but I'm one person in the borough.
Tough situation. Yep.
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 Anything else for you, Rich?
No, that's all.
Okay. Fire Marshal Mike Sioko Sr. You're on mute, my dear.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. There were 9 incidents last month. It was a busy month. What I'm running into is, because of the COVID-19 situation last year, a lot of these places are falling into disrepair as far as their maintenance. I'll give you an example. Take Coventry or Madison, whatever you want to call it. Our men have responded to like dryer fires and things like that. When they get in there, they're noticing that where the heaters are, they're just not being maintained. I don't know what the maintenance staff is doing, but there are problems there. That place needs a good campaign to clean dryer vents and things like that.
Totally agree, Mike.
Yeah, if 519 Station Road, the Pathways, I've been trying to get a hold of them for 2 days to talk with them. It's every time that there's a new resident, they don't like to, follow the rules. And consequently, our fire department is called out for to give it a little bit easier turn, stupid things. They're spraying hairnet on their hair, and what you don't understand is the propellant that's used in these products will set off a smoke alarm. And when you set off the smoke alarm, and they don't even want to leave the building anymore. There is no law that says that you must vacate a building when the fire alarm is sounding. Now, anyone in there, any one of us, if we hear a fire alarm, we would exit the building. But there are certain individuals that choose not to. Stony Bank storage. That's a never-ending problem with... there's a water leak there in the sprinkler system, and the pump that's there can't keep up with it. And I told them last time I was out there that their time was up and fines would be coming for false alarms. I will be telling the Station Road people, Pathways, that if it continues, fines will be coming their way. We had one legitimate one at Wawa. One of the new pipes in the sprinkler system had cracked up at the Blossom Hill. And so that's been since been repaired. All right. The Valley Brook. Yeah, so that's it. And then the... it was Delaware County. They reached out to me for the pop-up for the COVID-19 shots. And then I immediately notified Sammy and Larry in regards to it. I forwarded them the email that Delaware County had sent me. And so we were able to have that occur this week. So.
Hi, Gina. Can I ask Mr. CFO a question?
Sure. Ask me anything.
Hi. So on that one about, is it the Chester Heights storage that you were saying that the leak, the pump isn't catching up with the leak in the fire system? Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Is that leak so significant that the fire sprinkler system would fail?
As you pull up to the sprinkler room, you could see the water coming out the doorway.
But is it, I mean, I know it's bad, but is it enough that if it actually had to be implemented and turned on, would the sprinkler system fail?
And I don't think so. I think the sprinkler system would still activate.
Laura, it's a dry, what they call a dry system. So all the pipes are filled with pressurized air. And that's where the leak is. It's in the pipes and it's leaking air. And the way the air is maintained is there's an air compressor. And it's a very small air compressor. So the air compressor can't keep up pumping air into the system. So what happens is the flapper valve opens and fills the entire sprinkler system with water. It's not.
Oh, and that's the leak part. I see.
That's where the leak is. It's not so bad in the summer, but in the winter times, you run the potential of freezing all the pipes and breaking all the pipes.
So that makes sense.
Which unit is it, Larry?
What's that?
Which unit is it?
Well, we've had them at all three.
Yeah.
It's three of primarily the main house in the basement of the main building one. But we've building had one. Them in all three buildings.
Okay. I will stop there tomorrow.
What's your process when you say that you told them they'd be getting fines or something? Is there any kind of like formal letter or official letter from the borough that gets sent over?
I just fine them. I just write it out and fine them. Yeah. I don't kind of write letters. When I speak to someone, I tell them this is what happened. You only are allowed 3 in a 12-month period, not in a year, in a 12-month period. As is after that point, I said, you will be fined. And I said, normally, any sane person, again, will address the situation. That place has already been sold a couple of times. So I think they're just pushing it down the road. Then COVID hit. It just happens.
COVID crutch. Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's something official that the borough can do to kind of help out and push that issue forward and get them to fix it.
Okay. Now, I've fined thousands of dollars over the years. Thousands. No.
You fine them, or what's the thousands of dollars?
No, I said over the years, I said I fined thousands of dollars in fines.
Do they pay the fines?
I'm sorry.
Do they pay the fines?
I'm not hearing what you're saying.
Are the fines paid when you...
Yes. Them? Yes.
So it's cheaper for them to keep paying the fines than to fix the issue.
Oh, yeah. I think Faith Robbins probably paid over $2,000 in false alarm fines because she didn't want to move the... she had a Roman bath. And she didn't want to move the smoke detector outside the Roman bath, and it kept setting it off every time the steam would hit it. And we would arrive, and we would see it. And then I told her, Faith, you got to get this thing fixed. Move it. And then she says, I don't mind donating to the fire company. So that's the way she looked at it. So, and I find her $2,500.
You're going to put that on
over a period of time.
Who gets that fine?
I do, and the fire company gets it.
Mike, how do you issue a fine without due process?
Hey, I told them if they want to go to court, we could go to court.
There's an ordinance. There's an ordinance for that, for faulty fire alarms.
Is there anything in the ordinance that says once you're fined X amount, you're forced to fix it or the fine increases? Because maybe that's just the solution.
It does increase.
It does not increase?
No, it does increase.
It's $100 for the first time, $200 for the second time, and then it stays at $300 per time each time that happens.
So it's only the fine only happens when there's an incident if the problem isn't correct.
Right? Correct.
Maybe that should be the change, that the fine continues until the problem is corrected or something along those lines, once you've been fined a certain number of times.
No, it does continue. It just stays at 300. I mean, it's not like in Springfield, Delaware County, where it's 100, 200, 400, 800. They really get results fast there.
The fine is getting levied when there's an issue that the fire department has to come out. I think that the fine should be levied when they don't remedy the problem. You know what I mean?
That's when it's levied. It's when they have a chance to do it and they didn't do it.
I know what you're saying, Dave. It should be on a daily basis after whether there's a false alarm or not. I know, but that would have to be a change in the ordinance.
So like every 60 days, if they haven't reported back that they've fixed it, then perhaps another fine or 90 days.
I'm understanding that it costs less for them to not fix the issue when this is a public safety. You know what I mean? But we continue to sit back and we're just compliant as well. It's like the same thing we have with the sinkhole. Like, it's just, I'm kind of on the top of my head. If it's going to be something where other people could be affected because of someone's desire to not fix an issue, then we have to kind of take further steps to keep the rest of the borough and residents safe, in my opinion.
I think one thing that would be helpful is that before we start legislating anything is the borough doesn't even see these fines, and we have a lot of contact with residents. I think somehow this should be reported to the borough so they have visibility to it.
Hi, this is Sam Iannucci, the fire chief. Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah.
Sam.
Yes.
Hey, so thanks for having me. And just to dovetail on what everyone has been saying, these fines are occurring after the problem has already happened, whether it's a nuisance or a near miss, like Mike's describing in Coventry Crossing. And a lot of these could be found out prior to happening if we instituted our inspection program that we have. I know we have been doing commercial building inspections before. I don't know that those are occurring now, but we can find these issues with detection systems or sprinkler systems if we conduct regular inspections. And we could stay on top of our property owners, like at Madison, for cleaning their dryers and checking their smoke detectors if we're following up with inspections. So I've sent correspondence to the borough asking what it would take to start up our inspection program again.
I saw that email, and I think thank you for bringing it up again here. I mean, I think it makes sense, and I'm not familiar with what's been done in the past with an inspection program, but can you give us a little heads up on what is needed on your end from our side?
Well, I guess my expectation was, or is, you know, we have a lot of either high hazard life or high hazard manufacturing occupancies in the borough, whether it be assisted living or board and care homes or daycares or manufacturing, which should undergo an inspection annually to, you know, prevent and predict either fire issues or maintenance issues that could protect the residents and the occupants from fire.
Well, we've been doing that every year, and actually it's every year and every other year, so it's every 2 years when you go through it, and it would have been done last year, other than the fact that we ran into the situation with COVID, where pretty much everything was shut down.
Well, the fire department wasn't shut down. I was still making responses, and our guys were still making responses, and the people still have an expectation and an understanding to be safe at the properties. So, I mean, I understand the COVID risk, but I also understand that we have 3,000 people coming through here every day. Some of them can't even defend themselves, and we should be doing what we can to protect them.
Yeah, Sam, I think my question was more along the lines of, is there some kind of financial portion to this, or just approval required from the borough for the fire department to go do those inspections?
Well, first of all, they need to be certified to do the inspections. Okay.
Gotcha.
Not just firemen. Okay.
So do we have someone that's certified to do them?
Me?
All right. So I guess my ask as the borough fire chief is if we could conduct building inspections on an annual basis.
Well, then you're moving it up from once every other year to once a year. So that would be a council decision.
Well, the NFPA, the Life Safety Code, requires inspections far frequently than that.
But the state annually, of Pennsylvania is not on NFPA.
Okay. Well, that doesn't mean that's an excuse to not make it right. I mean, I don't want to. What do you tell people that, oh, the code says I can only, those are minimum requirements.
I think the problem, Sam, I agree with you. I think that more inspections are better. I think an annual inspection makes sense. I think a 6-month inspection makes sense. I think at the end of the day, the issue isn't necessarily the inspection at this point. It's getting the owners or the property maintenance groups to actually fix what's been identified as a problem. You know what I mean? And then if we can continue with the inspections, awesome. From a safety perspective, that's great, but still at a standstill of getting the issues resolved. You know what I mean?
I think we're getting into a something that maybe you should be moved to a committee for further discussion?
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Who should I, what committee is that should I be bringing it up to other than the inspectors and the fire committee?
Susan, is that your committee with codes and inspections?
No, I think it's the fire, whoever works with the fire department.
I think, but aren't we talking about inspections? And Richard Jensen's responsibility to follow what we've told him to follow so far, which is inspecting Madison every other year?
Well, all commercial buildings every other year, okay? And we're behind because of COVID. And to be point truthful, I don't want to go in everybody's house until this thing gets better. You know, it...
How about this? We'll have a meeting next Monday to discuss it. I'll set it up.
Yeah, I think it's fire finance. I think it's public safety. I mean, I think it touches on inspection coding. There's a lot of different things that this touches on.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Not at all.
But then it also goes back to being a good property owner.
Absolutely. And that's...
And that, every time an apartment is flipped, maybe we just require that they give a report that the dryer vent is connected appropriately and that the chimney is clear and that there's no lint in anything and that the sewer doesn't have sewer flies in it. And at what point, and I think this is part of the conversation for Monday night's committee meeting, are we legislating stupid?
Yeah.
And it's really more of a public safety issue than inspections is kind of narrow, but I'll set it up and then I want some other members of council to attend.
Excuse me. My name's Natalie and I live in Madison in Coventry. Could everybody hear me?
Yes.
Just to give you a heads up, Mike, just to help you out a little bit. 2 weeks ago, all the outside vents were all cleared. There was a company here clearing everyone. So if you gave them or put them on notice, it was done pretty quickly. With that being said, my chimney and my fireplace in my home was inspected. I know that they've been a little shorthanded, but I could honestly say I have never had an issue with them not making me feel comfortable here with the utilities that could possibly cause a fire. So that's just my point of view from living here.
And Larry, I'm going to need your help to set up a meeting next Monday on Zoom.
Okay, no problem. Just tell me what time and
okay.
how long you think it'll last.
Chief Sam, do you have anything else to input on this topic before we move on?
Nope, not at this time.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for being here and for your correspondence. Moving on to sewage enforcement, any report?
Actually, the one big thing we did have, we did issue a permit and they did install a new septic system at the Hammond Asset bed and breakfast property as part of the agreement of sale. So that whole new system, it has been installed and inspected and approved. Just to give you notice on that, we have like two other septic system repairs, one on Wawa Road and one on Forge Hill Way that are upcoming.
Is that by chance 209 Wawa Road?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Larry, you're up, AMC Roadmaster.
It's been kind of a busy month. A lot of PA1 calls have been cleared. There was, some engineering work done on a possible subdivision on Ivy Lane that I forwarded to Matt and to the zone or the planning commission, and they had no idea that it was even, being presented, but they did do a PA1 call on that. I haven't heard anything further on that either through Matt or the planning commission. I don't want to steal Matt's thunder on his infamous sinkhole. So, but I did put cones out for that prior to it some other people arriving. We had to call fire police out, like Trooper Tobin down at Bodley and Valley Brook for the logging truck that came through. So they assisted. And then there was a stop sign missing at Bodley Road and Valley Brook, which was reported to us. We reported immediately to PennDOT. They said they would get on it. And then the state police also reported it, and it got fixed a little faster than normal. We reported a where the guardrail south of the Calvin Powell driveway on Valley Brook Road is separated from the roadway, and it's starting to lean in towards the Calvin Powell property. So we're trying to stay on top of PennDOT regarding that, because it is a state road. The speed limit sign on Lenai Road was installed by Higgins. I don't know if it's had any overall effect. I would defer to Dave and to Susan Clark regarding that, as they live in that area, to see whether or not it's actually had any effect on the speed of vehicles. I may have to get a replacement battery for the one up on above 101 Valley Brook, because it doesn't always get a lot of sunlight. I may have to trim a couple of tree limbs up there to get the solar panel more directly in the sun. But that one is the oldest of them all, of all the speed limit indicators. So I think I've gotten it all.
Excuse me. This is Fred Wood. As a resident of Borough, I observed today someone from the state, it looked like a third-party contractor, but they were stopping at all the stormwater drains along Wawa Road in front of my property. So I'm guessing the state's inspecting it. Not sure if anything will come of it.
Okay. Was it even the one with the bridge, like, you know, what we call it?
They headed down that direction. I was out front fixing fences, so I just observed them for the ones in front of between 240 Wawa Road and 249.
Gotcha. I know there's it has nothing to do with Chester Heights, but there's a storm drain on Smith Bridge Road down in Concord Township between the S curves. The two cones are out there that it's, you know, it's going to quickly enlarge, and I wonder who's going to be out there fixing that one as well. You know, I mean, because of the hands off that PennDOT has basically had with regarding the storm drains. So that's all I have.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Mayor. Zoning, anything to report?
Yeah, I have a request. I was wondering if the Iannucci's could send me their email addresses at susan.clark@chesterheights.org. Clark has the annoying E on the end, so that I can invite you to the meeting next Monday. Thank you.
Rich, do you have anything for zoning?
No, just the hearing coming up.
Okay, thank you.
Is that going to be an in-person hearing or a virtual one or both?
Well, the posting I have to put up tomorrow says that it's going to be in person.
Okay.
I was under the impression it was going to be via Zoom. So,
because I have not heard anything regarding the scheduling of one.
I believe it's going to be at the Valley Brook Village of Valley Brook Townhouse Clubhouse.
Okay.
So I guess Chris has contacted them to make those arrangements.
Darlene or Sue, do you want to confirm that?
Yes, there's been communication between Chris and Justin, and it's confirmed.
Okay.
And Rich, once you release that public notice, I'll share it through my normal channels as well.
There's one on the building right now, and Sue can email yes. you a copy.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it should go on the web page or whatever.
Okay. Engineers report. Matt, you've got a few things to discuss.
Actually, Vice President Ellis, I think I'm up next.
Gary. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Yes, you are.
But I'll defer to Matt.
For nine, Rose Hill Amendment.
All right. So the first matter that I have is actually I was asked by Sue to present a motion to release the escrow in the amount of $3,089.59 and close out the account for the Wawa 5 Annex. You may recall that Wawa was requesting to close this account out. There was a final release. Mr. Sioko had notified counsel. There's my understanding is there's no, all invoices have been paid. So I would ask counsel to approve a motion to release the escrow in amount of $1,089.59 and close out the Brynmawr Trust account.
Before we do the motion, I just want to be sure with me abstaining and both council persons, Adams and Baum absent, is four enough?
Well, it's four would be a majority of council.
Okay. Do I have a motion to release the final escrow for 240 Wawa Road and close out the Brynmawr Trust account?
Excuse me, that's Wawa Annex 5.
Five, that's correct.
Wawa Annex 5.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Any discussion? I will abstain. Motion passes. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you. The next matter that I have would be asking council to approve a motion to approve the minor amendment to Rose Hill plan, which includes the following. The change proposal is to have all townhouse widths at 28 feet wide instead of alternating with 26, 28, and 32 feet wide units. Since this changes the lot lines at the townhouse party walls, they need to amend the subdivision plans. All open space in the outer property lines of grouping of townhouses units will stay exactly the same. Spacing between each townhouse group would increase as the overall width of each section of the townhouse units will decrease. There was also a request to include perimeter landscape berms that have been added to the plans to provide greater buffering to the outer edges of the development. My understanding is that the plan was presented to the borough's planning commission on May 27th, and it the borough received approval from the planning commission with contingent on the borough engineer for a final updated report documenting the approval. So with that, I would ask that council consider the adoption of a motion to approve the minor amendment to the Rose Hill plan.
So I have a motion to approve the final amendment of the Rose Hill plan.
Make the motion, Gina.
Do I have a second?
Hey, y'all, Matt,
I'll second.
Any discussion? With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I'm opposed, nay.
Aye.
Please note that Councilperson Clark opposed and everybody else present approved. Thank you. Now, Mr. Hootman, you're up with the engineer's report.
Thank you. There's two items and they're a little bit interrelated. We had the Matson Road bids come in. We sent out about six packages to contractors. We got two firms actually put in a bid, Gessler and AF Damon. They're both firms that have worked a bit in the borough over the last number of years. and the apparent low bidder for, or the low bidder for the base work was AF Damon at $46,870. And then, as you recall, during one of the past Borough Council meetings, there was some talk about maybe installing a stabilized shoulder on either side of the, or at least on one side of the road down there at the low point after you cross the stream, since people tend to pull off there to fish anyway. So that portion of improvements to put a stabilized off-road stabilized area added another $4,350. So if Borough Council wanted to go through with that, the total would be $51,220. Now, I think we estimated originally in the high 30,000 range for the Matson Road base bid, as I think I described again at a previous meeting, when we were measuring up the road and observing what was happening, is that Matson Road is only like 18 feet wide there, again, after you cross the creek heading toward Concord there at the low point. And vehicles traveling close to the edge of the road or just the edge of the road peels away. And every time we patch it, we don't really get the longevity out of that pavement that we should. So this bid included widening the road 2 feet on one side and 3 feet on the other in the attempts to provide some more cartway so we don't have those vehicles that might wander toward the edge of the road and break off the edge of the cartway. The bids were kind of close. One came in at, again, for the total bid, $51,220, and Gessler was at $53,240, so they were very competitive amongst themselves. I would have preferred one more bid come in at least, but we only have the two. Now, there's been discussions with Dave Fersker about the Valley Brook Road issues with the potholes also. And I bring that up because Borough Council may choose to not go forward at least immediately with the Matson Road improvements until we get a handle on what's happening at Valley Brook Road. As you remember, a few months ago, we had a sinkhole open up in front of Madison Apartments. We contacted the state. And the state informed the borough that they're not responsible, that for towns and cities and boroughs, the responsibility for subsurface pipes belongs to the borough. And we argued that back and forth, but the situation became a safety issue. So the borough hired Brian Moore's firm to go there and excavate it out and fix that pothole. When they were doing that and they opened up the hole, what we found was the whole bottom of the corrugated metal pipe had rusted away and material was just being drawn into the pipe, washed away by stormwater, and ended up in the stormwater basin in the Madison Apartments. Now, this second sinkhole happened up at Ennis's property, the old Ennis property, about 75 feet south of Route 1. It had been a relatively minor hole sinkhole behind the curb for a number of months, but it really opened up over the last month or so, again, to where there was a sizable sinkhole where you could see the pipe underneath the roadway and actually avoid under the pipe, and we couldn't ascertain how far under the pipe and maybe under the roadway that void extended. Upon making a site inspection and seeing that it was in my opinion, a dangerous situation, I called to PennDOT again to ask them to come and correct it. And I also contacted Chris Quinn's office and ran it by his office and asked him to help interview with PennDOT. And I guess all that worked because a PennDOT crew did get out there within 2 days and opened up the hole and corrected and patched it up. So at least put a Band-Aid on it. But in the correspondence back and forth with PennDOT, they basically said that, hey, we took care of this one time, but be forewarned that the borough is responsible for that pipe maintenance and that next time the state comes out to do any work, they'll correct it, but they'll bill the borough for their, you know, for their time and effort to make the corrections.
And that then ended up with a conversation with Dave about maybe what we should do is televise that storm sewer run and ascertain, is the entire pipe just totally dilapidated and need of repair, or did it just happen to be in a couple spot areas? Because if the system is in really bad shape and we can expect another sinkhole to pop up, you know, in just another couple months, that maybe the borough's got to expend the funds to correct that piping situation rather than do the Matson Road improvements. The one other caveat I might add was when I contacted and corresponded with PennDOT, we told them that that piping coming off Baltimore Pike was not authorized by the borough, was not approved by the borough. It was part of the old Baltimore Pike reconstruction project back in the 1960s that we've never maintained the borough since that point in time. That you know, it's our opinion that the state has done some maintenance to that pipe, but definitely the borough has not. And the response back from PennDOT is that they had no record that they installed the pipe. Well, in our office, we had the old construction drawings for Baltimore Pike. So I made a Xerox of the area and highlighted the pipe and said, yes, this is the pipe that you installed under your reconstruction project in the 60s. And they said that they don't think that's going to change their stance on it, but they are talking to their legal people now to get a handle. And I expect a return call or email from them shortly. And the frustrating thing part, Larry, you brought up about, you know, there's been work at Smithbridge Road and how Concord Township's handling it. That rule that says that Chester Heights has to maintain the subsurface pipe, again, is for cities, towns, and boroughs. First and second class townships, that rule does not apply. So PennDOT takes care of their pipes in Concord Township, but not in Chester Heights Borough, which is really odd because if you don't even know if you're in Concord or Chester Heights in terms of how they present themselves. They're very similar rural suburban areas. And just because that we're a borough and they're a township of the, well, I guess their home rule charter now, but they were a township of the second class made the difference on whether the state comes and maintains their own pipe. So again, they're kind of long and winded, but we got the bids in. Be happy to answer any questions about them. But the play here, and Dave, please correct me if I'm wrong, may be to get authorization to video inspect the pipe there along Valley Brook Road to first try to make some determination whether that pipe is really just waiting to fall apart all over again, or it just so happens that the two spots revealed themselves and they've been taken care of and we might be able to get a few more years out of the pipe.
I think that was a perfect summary, Matt. Thank you. And yeah, I'm most definitely in favor of getting the camera down there, seeing what the damage actually looks like, and putting a hold on approving any bids for the Matson Road paving at this time.
So there still is dispute over who's responsible. I mean, I understand PennDOT saying we're not responsible, but if they put it in, they installed it, it was theirs, and we've never maintained it, I would imagine that we're not the only municipality, be a township or a borough, who is experiencing the same push and pull with PennDOT. Is there any reason that we might obtain legal counsel to, in the worst case scenario, we're talking a couple $100,000 to replace, if the pipe is done and it's right? So if we find that this one or both of these pipes that both belong to the management company that owns Madison right now, but are on PennDOT roads and they were PennDOT pipes, if it's determined that they're completely trashed, we could bankrupt our budget. We'd have to take out a loan. We'd have to finance it somehow. If PennDOT fixed it themselves and then they billed us, would they upcharge it because they had to fix it and we didn't? Like, I feel like there's still some fuzzy area here. Yeah,
Vice President Ellis, if I may.
Please.
I would ask that these issues be discussed in an executive conference, because right now, the way it rests, and Matt was entirely correct in his discussion, is that they have now gone to their legal department for an opinion. And I think it would be prudent before there's a discussion here related to, you know, risks, costs, benefits, and potential litigation between the borough and PennDOT, that perhaps, you know, we discuss, council discusses some of this in its executive session, as opposed to in a, you know, because it relates to litigation. I have prepared and forwarded a some analysis to Councilman Fersker. I've talked repeatedly with Matt, and I would ask that, you know, issues related to potential litigation be deferred in an executive session, perhaps not tonight, but perhaps until we do hear back from PennDOT and their legal team, because we're at that stage now.
Yeah,
that would be my recommendation.
And to answer the question about other municipalities, yes, I've contacted, you know, other engineers in the borough who represent boroughs. And yeah, it seems that everybody's of the sense that, you know, the state was taking care of these facilities up till, you know, 5-6 years ago. And they've kind of reanalyzed their old statutes and found a way to defer these costs onto the boroughs rather than handle it themselves, it seems. And other boroughs are having similar situations and similar problems. And I think, Dave, you actually reached out to the Pennsylvania Association of Boroughs and kind of discovered the same problem.
Yeah. I'm trying to bite my tongue because of what Gary said, and I don't want to get too deep into this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But,
okay, so further discussion in an executive session.
That's a great discussion. But I'm still wondering if we can get an approval on getting the camera down there, because I think it would be smart to see what the real damage is.
Yeah, my recommendation would be just to table the bids for a month, and then if Borough Council would authorize a video inspection of the pipe to get a better handle on the condition.
I believe that's prudent.
Matt, you would get those bids?
I'm sorry, Larry.
You would get those bids? I mean, I don't know any videos, you know, people besides KBX.
Well, we could. I mean, Brian Moore did the last one for Madison. Okay. I would contact him first, depending on what his bid. I think it's only going to be a couple, you know, $1,000 or $2,000. But I can get more than one bid just to.
No, I didn't know he had the equipment. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Matt, if it's time sensitive, and I know that you and Dave have been working on this, is it something that you should pursue before the next meeting and we just give you a not to exceed amount?
Yeah, I think that would be good. Of maybe.
What do you think would be?
I'd say 3,000, you know, not to exceed. I'm hopeful it'd be much below that, but I think that number should cover it.
Okay. Do I have a motion to authorize Borough Engineer Matt Hootman to get bids to take a video of these storm drains and water pipes that we are discussing?
I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
For a bid not to exceed $3,000, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, Matt, please do that.
Very good. And then if any borough council has any questions about Matson Roads, they, you know, now or reach out to me at any time. Be happy to answer them.
Okay. Thank you. Next up on the agenda, Mayor Fred Wood, your report, please.
Just a brief report, nothing new other than I want to thank everybody who was involved in the Memorial Day service events that took place at the park. I want to particularly thank Sam Iannucci and Larry for their team who directed traffic and all the people who helped participate and pull it off. I certainly was better than what we did last year, and it's as good as what I've seen in the past. So I'm very pleased. One other thing, and this is, Laura, this is for you. There are a couple dead trees there. And in fact, the tree we planted last year for our prior mayor is looking rather, we should probably replace those in the fall when the weather agrees, is more agreeable. But other than that, that's my report.
Thank you. Moving on at 8:26 to committee reports. School District Education Library, Susan?
Yeah, for school district, I'll let Mary Kay comment, and there is no library update.
Hi. Tomorrow, Coronet Valley will have the graduation. It will be on the school campus at 10 a.m. So, and the other item I wanted to announce, we will adopt the budget on June 14th. We're looking at less than a 0.5 increase. So that's about pretty much a flat increase. And we'll report on that, one more information on that in June, in July. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kay.
Thank you. Finance insurance.
Hey, before we get into finance, Gina Marie, when we did the approval of the treasurer's report, we never stated the amount of the receipts and expenses. I'm wondering if we should do that motion again.
Would you like me to do it since I'm a, yeah. I'll just hop in and do it?
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
All right, stand by. I put it to the side. I have it right here. All right, so. Okay, we've already accepted it, but just for the record, for the May 2021 receipts was $36,296.63. I lost the page. Stand by. And for expenditures, the total was $40,513.19.
Thank you, Laura.
No worries. All right. So as far as the finance committee, I would like to ratify the motion that was time sensitive that we conducted on May 25th. It was during the holiday break. I'd like to thank everybody who participated. I greatly appreciate that. For full disclosure, I'm just going to go ahead and read the email that was sent to council. And I'd like to thank everybody in advance for their fast response. We were able to do good by the borough. So this is what was we voted on. The 12-month CD at Malvern Bank matured. The grace period ended on June 1st. Because of time is of essence, I am requesting that your vote to either move the CD funds in addition to funds transfer from the general fund described below to a money market account with the high variable rate or transfer the CD funds to another 12-month CD at a lower rate. We researched the Pliget rates and they have not changed. Pliget class was 0.01. Pliget prime was 0.04%. Please review the options below and reply all with your preference for either option one or option two. Your option selection is your vote. Option one, move the Malvern CD matured funds of $46,484.72 plus $3,515.28 from the general fund to reach the minimum $50,000 requirement for a Malvern money market account variable rate of 0.55%, which is insured. Or option two, keep the funds in a 12-month CD at 0.30%. Even though it was a holiday weekend, I do want to thank, this is the order of vote that I received. Susan Clark said I'm in favor of option one. I, Laura Lim, said I'm also in favor of option one. Drew Baum said, I am in favor of option one. Natalie Anders said, same here. Gina Marie Ellis said, I am in favor of option one. So that was five members. And then my response is, thank you for your response. We have a majority vote for option one. The finance committee will complete those actions, which they have. So at this time, I'd like to make the motion to ratify option one, which we executed.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate that. And then for the next, for Finance Committee, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Moving forward on the agenda, Fire Company Finance. Dave, any report?
I don't have a report unless Sam has anything.
I'm just waiting on you guys. Everybody's smiling. It's great to see people smile.
Was there something specific you're waiting for, Sam?
Dave, do you know any meetings?
We used to meet quarterly, and I don't know. We've sort of got away from that. You remember to review the finances? That was a discussion point council wanted before. They wanted a breakdown every quarter of where we were, what we spent, what we had. It was something that the previous council had initiated 4 years ago, and we met. And I know last year we had a hard time because of COVID. And yeah, I just don't want things to get away from, you know, last minute. And then somebody say, hey, we haven't had it. So I've been trying to send you guys emails. Hopefully you're getting them and they're not getting blocked of that stuff. If you didn't get it, let me know and I'll re-forward you our quarterly statement from our financial people. Yes, a nod, maybe.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing the quarterly statement from the financial. I mean, unless that was something that we discussed back in May or reviewed at the May meeting, because it would have been coming after April, right? The thing that I think we were talking about with the fire company from a finance perspective was a potential audit. But besides that, I think that, you know, Sam, I can reach out to you tomorrow. We can set up a time for a quarterly meeting. I do think it's a good idea. I do think it's time to get back to doing that. You know, that's on me for not reaching.
Okay. I know, you know, I just think it's good that we meet and we're on the same page. I know that when we did the budget last year, it was last minute, things changed, you know, last minute. So I think if we're looking at changing some things, the way things are budgeted, the borough wants to change things around, or, you know, the buckets, you know, it's great to start ahead of time so that we're all on the same page and we're sort of not rushed at that last minute.
I totally agree. And I know there was a lot of conversation last year with Fred as well about how the taxes and stuff were going to replace some of the way the budgets were set up. So let's do this. I'll reach out and set up a meeting, maybe come over to the firehouse one night and we can and sit down and have that conversation. So I'll give you a shout tomorrow and we'll set something up so we can get that on the books.
Okay.
Hi, Sam. This is Laura. Has the audit begun? Have they reached out to you to start a time frame to begin the audit?
Nobody has reached out to us whatsoever.
All right, I'll follow up with them. Thank you for letting me know.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. Nominating vacancy, any report?
No report.
Next on the agenda is Communications Public Relations. That is me. If you haven't logged on to the Borough of Chester Heights website, our new and revised website went live on Friday. So if you have it saved in your cache, please refresh and take a look at the new and improved website. Hopefully it's easier to navigate, easier to find things. And we are still populating what goes where. So if you have any feedback of things that you would like to see or things that you think are hidden and need to be brought a little bit more to the forefront, Sue Timmons and I are open to any and all suggestions to make our website even easier to use and navigate.
Hey, Gina.
Mm-hmm.
One comment. I suggest that we change the picture on the banner.
It will change. It's actually going to be they're going to make it a slide. So it keeps going. They pulled a picture from, they looked up, our web developers looked up historic sites in Chester Heights, and that was the first one that popped.
Okay.
And it will not always be Old St. Thomas Chapel. I promise. It's just first iteration, and thank you for the feedback. We asked them to make it a sliding banner so we can have lots of things on there and highlight different things at a time. And we are going through our tutorial probably later this month with the best ways to edit and all of that. So this is iteration number one of the new design. The other thing, we had a couple of big Facebook reach posts. One was for the mosquito discs that we have at the borough. So if you are not aware of those, the DEP or someone from the county came through and indicated after some tests that it would be a more more severe than usual mosquito season. So if you have standing water anywhere on your property, to stop by the borough office during office hours and pick up some of these mosquito discs. I knew I got a couple of packages, and it should kill the mosquito eggs. So you need to do it before they hatch. And then the other one was just to mention that, as we all know, if you were aware, that the mayor of Easttown was filmed in Delaware County, and the one-year-old child in the mayor of Easttown was played by former Mayor Smith's grandsons. So the two of them were the twins that played the baby. And on the very last day, I was able to get permission from the family to share that information. And that Facebook post saw over 6,000 people and got us about 15 new followers to the Facebook page. That was a little off topic and exciting for the borough. And that's all for communications. Moving on to Mayor's Event Committee. I think I have the update there. Our revamped now second movie night is 11 days from now on Friday, June 18th, right after school lets out at St. Thomas. And it will be at the St. Thomas Playground, just as it was when we did it a year and a half ago. The movie will be Moana. All the entire St. Thomas community is invited, since they're being so gracious to host us. Parking is on the side. They have all of the electricity and everything that we need, and no worries about anybody crossing any streets. It will begin, the movie begins at dusk. The Plum Pit caterers will have their food truck there for food purchase. We will provide water and popcorn snacks for anybody who does not want to purchase food. And I think the food truck's going to be ready at 6:30, and dusk is sometime a little bit after 7 when Moana will start. But as before, the sound and light company that is putting on the movie will also bring a DJ and an MC. So there'll be music and the Hokey Pokey and all the fun songs that they played last time. And that will be over probably around 10 o'clock. Optinocker will be, again, giving us the loan of many, many trash cans to make sure that we are good guests at St. Thomas. And we're really excited to do this. We have a tentative plan to have another one bookending summer in a few months on September 18th, the week after we do our recycling day. And the banner is with us. We just have to build something to put it up and hang the banner. And Natalie Anderson and I will be putting together the signs on their posts tomorrow. And Natalie, you asked for rain and it's coming, so we will have soft ground to keep all of those signs throughout the community. And
thanks, Jane.
About 25 posters. I always put one at the Omnia Nail Salon, lets me put one up. I always give one to Pathways. There's always a couple that go to St. Thomas. But if anybody has particular places that they think a poster, oh, I always put one at the post office as well, and one at the borough office, but we usually have some left over. So if anybody wants posters about the Moana movie to share, I have them, just contact me. And that's the movie night update. Any questions?
Thank you.
Good report, Gina, thank you.
No problem. Historical committee, Sue, any updates?
If I could, I'd like to just give you a little bit of an idea of how our historical sign response has been. And I'm excited to say, now that I came back from Washington, I believe we sent out about 30 letters to our neighbors, and I have 22 responses as present, which they're all excited to participate. So I'll probably be talking to Laura tomorrow. We'll firm up some more details on ordering. We're going to confirm with everyone how they would like the sign. And the majority of the people seem to are leaning towards a metal sign. So I think it'll be a really nice event that we're doing in conjunction with the 75th anniversary. And that's all.
Thank you, Natalie. I just want to mention that Natalie has volunteered her time and efforts for the Historical Committee without officially being a member of it. So I think at our next Borough Council meeting, when President Baum is back, we might want to put on the agenda to officially add Natalie to that committee, since she's working so hard on it. Moving forward, planning zoning. Susan?
There was a planning commission meeting. I forget the exact date, you know, last week of May. There were three items on the agenda. There was a presentation on the Powell property. There was a presentation on 101 to 103 Valley Brook Road, which is also called the Keeney property. And there was also a review of the Rose Hill Amendment. No, the only decision that was made or motion that was made was the Rose Hill Amendment. The other two were just presentations with the opportunity for Planning Commission to ask questions. And that's my update.
And I just want to say I will never again be the one holding the computer and the microphone for a hybrid Zoom live meeting. I was sweating like crazy. There was no air conditioner in that house, in that room, and I was running all over. So if you got a little nauseous looking at the screen, I apologize. That was my fault. And I'm not volunteering to do anything like that again. Okay. Moving forward, Susan, again, engineering construction inspections.
We were supposed to be looking at the medical marijuana ordinance at the work session, but the work session was canceled. So, Jerry, I assume we're going to do that at the next work session, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. That's my update.
Thank you. Public safety environment, Dave, since Drew's not here.
We have nothing to report.
Okay. Assume the same for public safety borough police protection.
I spoke with John.
Not had a meeting yet.
Yeah. I mean, I spoke with John Ryan Jr. this week. He's back in Rolling Heights Lane taking care of his father and Aston Police Department, State Police of Pennsylvania. We are in very good hands.
Okay. Borough Property Parks Open Space Playground Update. Laura.
Hi, yes. So as everybody's aware, the contractor's out there and they've already taken down the old playground equipment. They've been working with Drew to get truckloads of topsoil delivered. And then we had like the four straight days of rain. So they obviously haven't been back out there working. They coordinated again for another truckload of soil to be dropped off tomorrow. So they should be back tomorrow. And unfortunately, we all see the weather. I think it's going to rain for four more days. So we just have to, you know, hopefully our contractor gets a break so he can get out there and work out there without it being so muddy. So we'll just, that's the update from there. The other thing is that I have been working with somebody, a manufacturer of bridges, and we're coming up with some ideas to, I talked to President or Vice President Gina Ellis about this. And basically one of the ideas we have is putting two different types of bridges out there on social media. And that Matt Hootman, our engineer, says is acceptable. And then having the residents vote on the bridge for the walking trail. So that's something that I've been working on. And I have two or three that we've looked at, and I just have to send that information to Matt, but I'm excited about that. So we can get some community involvement in our walking trail. And then with Matt, I hate to put you on the spot, but do you have an update about the walking trail?
Not a real recent one. I did somewhere between last month's meeting and this month's meeting, I did talk to Steve Conrad. He originally asked a couple months ago if he could bring a small machine in and just kind of loosely clear the path so he has a good idea of what he's up against to you know, see how far he can extend the path. We temporarily held him off because of related issues, and I talked to him and asked him if he could then proceed and do what he intended to do, and that is to, you know, take a very, very small machine and just kind of clear out around a path to see what he's up against. I did not contact him the last couple of days to see exactly where he is, but he did intend to do that. I will make it a point to call him and send out an email to Borough Council on that schedule.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. And then I'm going to send you an email with the links on the bridges and the schematics and see if you accept those.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's all I have for parks.
Hey, Laura. What is
it? Ma'am.
What is the name of the playground contractor?
It's under Eli Associates. That's the one that we actually purchased the playground equipment from. And the name is, the actual general contractor is Eric Toy. And it's with It's not Buzz Lightyear. It's with, hold on. My brain, let me, it's with, not Buzz Entertainment, not Buzz Lightyear. I think it's Buzz Construction, I believe, is what it's called.
Have we paid anything? Because I don't recall seeing anything yet in the financials.
No, we have not yet.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. So that's all that I have for Parks Committee.
Thank you very much. Moving on, Highways Transportation. Dave, anything to add to previous discussions?
Yeah, I mean, just a quick. It outside my house has been fantastic. I know my neighbor had made a comment about it on a previous meeting, and she's very happy with it. We've actually seen a pretty large decrease in the number of trucks that are coming through, whether it's tree trucks or construction trucks across the board. And I have seen a lot of cars slowing down when they come up and see the speed sign. So thank you to everyone that participated in putting that together. The other thing for Highways Transportation, there's been a lot of correspondence and conversation about Llewellyn Road, not only from members of the public, but between the Chester Heights Borough Council and PennDOT. Llewellyn Road was scheduled for 2020 paving, got overlooked, not included on the 2021 plan. We are having more conversations with PennDOT and really making a push to try and get that included in their paving schedule, hopefully this year, if not early 2022. So I just wanted the public to be aware of that as well. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Public Utilities, Trash Recycle, Laura.
Just a quick reminder, in the next couple of weeks, we'll probably send out the Recycling Day reminder, a little postcard so everybody can start cleaning up if they want to and start preparing for that. It is going to be September 11th from 9 to 12 at the park. That's all.
Thank you. Okay, old business. Anybody have anything for old business? I did want to add, as part of the Rose Hill Amendment Plan that we discussed earlier tonight, I think one of the things that may have gotten hidden in there is that they are planning on building additional berming surrounding the entire frontage on both Lenai and Llewellyn Road, and then planting trees there. They ended up with more topsoil than they realized they were going to get. So they're going to make good use out of it. Some of it's getting donated to our park, and then the rest of it, they're actually going to build I think it's a 2-foot berm, and then they're going to put trees on top of it. So as those trees mature and they're already higher up, there'll be a lot more coverage from the road frontage of the entire community, which I think is a great idea. And I just want to thank the developers for adding that to the plan amendment. More trees is always more expensive, but also appreciated, I think, by all the neighbors. So I wanted to say that. Thank you. Any other old business? Okay, new business. Okay, additional period for public comment. Please state your name and address for the record.
Mary Kay, do you have anything?
Just a quick comment. I'm glad to hear about the extra landscaping along Llewellyn and Lenai Road. As you know, there's a pothole there, and it looks like when it rains, there's a lake that's developing there. I think from people making that quick side cut, you know, to the right, that some of that, some soil has eroded. So hopefully that they will be able to fix that too when they, you know, put in the extra landscaping.
If everybody could call 1-800-FIX-ROAD and report that, I find it may help, because I know I had some folks on Llewellyn complain about that huge pothole near 296, and within a week it got fixed. So please call 1-800-FIX-ROAD.
Okay. Philip, do you have anything further?
I do. Thank you. This is in reference to Matson Road. If the paving of Matson Road is going to be delayed, I was wondering if, and I already know the bids went out, but one of the issues along Matson Road is not just the paving, but the significant amount of water that builds up right before the bridge at the bottom of the hill during rain events. There's a tremendous amount of water that comes. All the Willits Way sewers drain onto Matson Road. All the water coming down the hill from Matson collects there. And during a major rainstorm, You could get almost up to a foot of water there. In fact, I think the fire company has actually had a couple of water rescues over the last year for cars getting stuck and people stranded there. So I was wondering if there is a delay, if Matt could go back and potentially look at what it might take, such as a crown on the road or something, to divert the water off to the side and into the creek instead of just building up down there, because that also provides a lot of wear and tear on the road as well. And I know there's the thought about putting in that parking lot, but all the water that just collects there after a major rainstorm, it cuts the road off. You can't get from Matson to Valleybrook during a rainstorm, and it does provide somewhat of a human health hazard as well. So I don't know if a crown could be put into the road there to help divert the water, but I was wondering if that could be looked at this time, if there's a delay on paving Matson.
Yeah. Philip, a couple of things. We are putting both a binder course and wearing course, which is going to result in 4 inches of new paving. So the road is going to be a little bit higher. But I did intend, while the contractor had equipment there, is to, you know, have them on either side of the road clear out the sediment which builds up and have a clearer path for water to run off the road into toward the creek. So that was kind of, I didn't itemize it as a line item, but I was fairly certain that I'd be able to persuade the contractor to do a little extra work and clear the road off there.
There's actually a drain pipe off behind the fire hydrant that kind of leads back to the creek, but all the water misses that drain pipe. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if somehow the water could be diverted to that drain pipe and as well, but I'm glad you're looking at it, because, you know, cars just get stuck there and it's a bit of a hazard.
When it builds up that much, is it the runoff coming down the road, or is it, it's not water leaving the creek and running up on the road, is it?
It's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. So of course the 100-year floodplain, which floods every 2 years. Yeah, so it's right. A 2-year floodplain. When that creek does overflow, it does overflow that part of Matson,
on that side,
like everything else. Right. But I've also noticed, because I've gone out there in heavy rain, the Willits Way drains literally drain into the final drain before it hits Matson, and that comes out on the McCann property, and the water gets funneled over the McCann property right onto Matson. And then
it goes back onto Matson.
Yeah, and then on the other side of Matson, down that long hill, it's just like a river. So the entire hill of Matson drains to right there as well.
Right.
If the creek floods, everything floods. So that does become a river, and I don't think no matter how much grading you put there, you can ever fix that. But definitely all the water from Willits Way and Matson just go right down there.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Nancy Server? Do you have anything further for council?
I do not, thank you.
Okay. Marta Driscoll?
Yeah, I just have a question. On the contractor who's putting in the playground equipment, do we have his certificate of insurance, and have we been added as additionally insured on his policy?
Yeah, he provided his insurance for us when we worked with him for the estimates. I know Sue has all the documentation. I don't know all the names of them, but I know he submitted documentation when we hired him through Eli Associates.
I just want to confirm that we're added as additionally insured on his policy, because that would protect us a little bit more than just having a certificate of insurance. So just double check that.
Thank you.
Sam Iannucci.
I just want to remind council of the pop-up on Wednesday, the COVID shots, your choice of Moderna or Johnson & Johnson, from 1 to 4, no appointments needed, just drive through. They're going to set a tent up in the rear of the firehouse. Maybe each of you could just share it out on your Facebook page or something. There may be a resident of the borough that's still looking for a shot, and, you know, here's an opportunity. They don't have to travel far to get one, so. They're trying to get as many shots out there. So
I put it on our Facebook page. I will share it again, and then I'll send out an email tomorrow letting everybody know it's tomorrow.
Okay.
If there's anything else I can do, just let me know.
Yeah. They're late on their advertisement. I mean, I don't know. They're just trying to make it convenient. I think they're just trying to get the numbers up and yeah. So whatever we can do, I think, to get the word out. And okay. Yeah, the school district just finished their second shot for their students. So I don't expect school age students, but you never know. Thanks.
Walt Basher.
Nothing. Thank you all for your time and hard work.
Okay. JB Hatch.
Nothing here. Thank you very much.
All right, Gina. That's, I think, everybody that's still on.
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you,
everybody. Good night, all.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.